7:44 on your Wednesday morning. Still a few days away from Saturday, but very much like Saturday on Wednesday, it means another Regina Farmers Market. Hopefully the smoke doesn't impact it too much. This morning, we're hearing from Executive Director Holly Laird as the market marks a milestone. Morning, Holly. Nice to chat with you again. How you been?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Kevin?
I'm fantastic. Thank you. Summer is almost here. And for you guys, 50 years, Holly. That is incredible.
Isn't that amazing? 50 years. Such a great milestone to celebrate with the community.
Yeah, so any special events, any more vendors, what are you guys doing to mark this half century?
Yeah, we had a big party to kick off our season, and it was just awesome to see so many people come out and to celebrate with us. We had a few extra vendors that day. It was great, but we're going to keep the fun going through our whole season this year, especially leading up to our Tomato Festival, which is happening August 2nd at the Legislative Building.
So what else is new to the market this year? Maybe people haven't been for a few years. Maybe they haven't quite gone this year yet. What can they expect this year?
Well, we've got all of your favorite farmers market staples, everything from the fresh produce that comes in seasonally. We're getting close here to fresh pea season, which is always exciting, and then followed quickly with Saskatoon berry season after that, and it just goes from there. So you can expect all those things for sure. Other staples, honey, locally raised meats, farm fresh eggs, everybody's favorite baking and treats. And every season we get new vendors that come in. So there's always something new and interesting to find.
I wonder what a price of a dozen eggs would have been 50 years ago at this market. Can we still pay those prices now?
I'm thinking the prices may have gone up a little bit in 50 years, but...
There is a lot of construction work right now. Wednesdays at the farmer's market. You are still downtown, correct?
That's right. Yes, we set up Wednesdays from 9 to 1. We're mainly on the 1900 block of Scarf Street facing into Victoria Park. And then the food trucks usually set up on Pat Fiasco Plaza during the construction. So that's where you'll find us Wednesdays all the way through until Thanksgiving.
And so how has it been? I know we're still pretty early into the season, but because of the construction going on kind of all around you, are you still finding that people are, in fact, finding their way to you still?
You know what? We are so fortunate to have our sort of core loyal group of customers that they just find us and they follow us where we go. And we're so grateful for them. So yes, people are coming out. Honestly, Wednesdays have been a little bit slower the last few years, post COVID and with all the construction. So we'd love for even more people to come out and find us on Wednesdays. That would be great to really help those vendors that make it out there.
Joined this morning by Holly Laird of the Farmers Market here in the city. Has the current state of the economy, Holly, tariffs and all, of course, the big talker, have those had any impact on your market in any way that's perhaps obvious to you or maybe to the people who come to the market?
I would say it definitely has. We had a very, very busy indoor market season from January to April, likely our busiest one we've ever had for multiple reasons. But I think the discussions around shopping local have definitely impacted us in a positive way. I've heard the discussions with vendors, customers, it's on people's minds. So we're excited. I mean, there's lots of not great things happening as a result of the tariffs, but a renewed interest in shopping local is really exciting for us. We're the only authentic farmers market in Regina. And so what that means is that everything at our market is made, baked, grown, or designed here in Saskatchewan. Most of it comes from within 50 kilometers of the market location. And we're just talking about freshness and local to the max.
And Holly, is the market working on anything else at the moment? Are you working on anything, anything in development, something new that you can probably get in trouble and share with us early on?
Well, we do have some pretty big strategic plans, and ultimately we would like to find a spot where we can be permanently and not have to move around so much and put down a bit more roots. So we've got some plans in development for that with our board of directors, and we've got a strategic advisory board tasked with the project. So hopefully we'll have some big plans coming in the next bit about that.
Appreciate your time as always, Holly.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for the call.
Holly Laird of the Regina Farmers Market. Smile, it's all okay. Yeah, look a little bit. 7:52. Bringing you this morning the very latest to 980 CJME special coverage of the devastating fires in northern Saskatchewan. 22 wildfires are active this morning. 6 are not contained. Rain and lower temps have certainly helped a lot over the last number of days. The evacuation order will be lifted tomorrow morning. 7,000 evacuees around LaRonge. Crews are now able to get into areas that were too dangerous to go to before and tackle flames from the ground instead of just the air. Still seeing new fire crews arrive from places like Colorado and Washington. The Shoe Fire, we have an update this morning, is now only 9 kilometers from the edge of the community of Candle Lake, but crews did manage to get the fire break completed. A firefighter with 31 years of experience is recovering in Saskatoon Hospital right now with a collapsed lung after battling the wildfires affecting his home community of Pelican Narrows. It's actually the 7th time, if you can believe that, the 7th time Brady Highway has had a collapsed lung.
I was going to start the chainsaw, and I just realized that this now is beyond my breathing capacity and started looking for help.
But he plans to go right back to the fire lines once he gets the all clear from doctors. One restaurant in Candle Lake is staying open even as that massive wildfire gets closer. That's a good thing because Emma's Kitchen has basically turned into a lifeline for crews battling the flames. Owner Wayne Tucker says when the Sask Public Safety Agency asked if he could feed those crews, he didn't hesitate. He says the number of meals has grown each day and they're now cooking for dozens.
I get up at 4 o'clock every day to start up the kitchen and get breakfast ready. And, you know, we do a nice breakfast buffet for around 50 to 60 daily.
He says when your community's in trouble, you don't close your doors, you open them wider.
Community sticks together and helps each other and helps everyone stay strong.
Every day his team is ramping up, as you heard, cooking for more fire crews, for volunteers, emergency workers. He says it's about giving back to the place that built his business. Tucker says fueling the people protecting his home is a no-brainer.
Money doesn't really matter. It's more about serving them and just making sure that they have the fuel so that they can fight the fires.
And stay tuned this morning and this afternoon. 980 CJME will be carrying a couple news conferences for you live. Premier Scott Moe will be speaking at 10 this morning. And, of course, the regular wildfire update call comes down at 1:30 this afternoon. Stay with us on 980 CJME. We will continue to bring you the very latest live updates on the wildfires up north.
On Rough Riders, on Rough Riders, plunge right through that line.
8:14 on your Wednesday morning. Another smoky one out there. Right now, the Air Quality Health Index from Environment Canada stands at an 8. Or, in other words, high risk. Many of your kids' outdoor activities last night were canceled. And we're finding out how it is affecting the Rough Riders this morning. The Green Zone rider reporter Britton Gray joins us on the line this morning. Good morning, Britton.
Good morning.
So smoke just had an impact on the riders, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. The air quality was at an 8, and when it's at an 8 or above there, that means they can't practice outside. That's what the CFLPA, so they have to move practice indoors, and that does affect the riders. They can't really run a full practice indoors. You can't do everything you want. It turns into a little bit more of a walkthrough inside, so unfortunately, that's just kind of how it was.
Injury report, did we get any new information about any of the players hurt? Any idea of when guys will be back, if any are suiting up this week?
Yeah, so there was some good news. We'll start with the good news there. Roland Milligan Jr., AJ Ouellette, both out practicing. Now, it said they were limited, but they did quite a bit to be considered limited. So I do think that they will both end up playing. Jacob Brammer, the starting offensive lineman who hurt his back last week, he was back out there again. So I expect them to kind of, all three of them to play. The bad news, though, unfortunately, Kean Schaefer-Baker wasn't out there, and that's going to be a big loss for this offense. And then Peyton Collins, the offensive lineman who came in for Brammer, he got hurt. He doesn't appear to be as serious. And then linebacker C.J. Avery, something to do with his bicep. He wasn't a sling. Already put onto the 6-game injured list, so a big loss there as the Riders have to kind of do some shuffling on the defense now.
Green Zone rider reporter Britton Gray on the line with us this morning. From what you can tell, Britton, or from perhaps what the team was saying yesterday, do they feel confident against Hamilton despite these injuries?
Yeah, I think so. Listen, this team has a next man up mentality, and that was perfectly shown last season with all the injuries to the offensive line, right? This is a team that dealt with adversity last year. It's pretty much the exact same team brought back. They feel like they can handle whatever gets tossed their way, and I think this is a confident team heading over to Hamilton.
You just talked to the newest signing for the Riders, Kadeem Carey. What's he saying?
Yeah, he's excited to be here. Saskatchewan was the number one place he wanted to be, so much so that he accepted a practice roster spot. Right now, he's just on the practice roster, which is saying something. He was a CFL East All-Star last season, right? We know how good Kadeem Carey can be, but it's Corey Mace said he understands his role here. He understands that it's all a part of a process to get to this team to where it wants to be, which is the Grey Cup at the end of the season. And I do think at some point, maybe not this week, at some point, Kadeem Carey will be on this roster just because the running back position, you take so much beatings over the course of the year, right? You take so much hits. It's tough to play a full season. Eventually, he will get in there. It will just a matter of how quickly it will be.
Thanks for doing this, Britton.
Not a problem.
Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray. And again, the Riders play the Ticats in Hamilton on Saturday. We're waiting on Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final happening tomorrow. Here's a 9-year-old's favorite part of Florida Panthers hockey.
Okay, peel back the curtain a little bit. We interviewed 9-year-old Sophia here before the game, and I asked her what her favorite part of Florida Panthers games are. Sophia, what is your favorite part of Panthers game?
The fighting.
The fighting. Okay, so now I have to ask you, now that it has become the big story from this game, what did you think about the fighting, especially in that third period?
It was really good, and I really liked how they punched each other a lot.
Now, did you feel like the Panthers won the fight in addition to the game?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
So do you want to be our Local 10 fighting hockey expert?
Yes.
Meantime, lifelong Oilers fan Jacob Golka can often be seen on game nights with his back to the screen and his hands hard at work for most of the Oilers playoff run. He's been painting the faces of hundreds of fans for free while sporting his own blue, orange, and white beard. Golka says he's just trying to create good memories for young fans of the team.
I don't care how many people are around me. I don't care how many teenagers are waiting. Their kids are first and foremost. This could be the first time they've ever been to a watch party. This could be their first memory of being an Oilers fan. And if I can create a positive experience for them to grow up to be future great Oilers fans, that's what I want to do.
Florida's up 2-1 in the series after a 6-1 crushing of Edmonton in Game 3. A23. We're waking up in the city this morning, once again, under an air quality warning. This morning, our newsroom asked Environment Canada's Eric Dykes what we can expect today.
Unfortunately, the same for the most part. The smoke will linger for most of the day today across the south. It's unfortunately, there's not a lot of flow in the atmosphere, both at the surface and aloft, to help to fumigate this smoke out of the area. So we're stuck with what we have, unfortunately, for the day. The good news is that we do expect to see some improvement with respect to the air quality and the reduction in visibility due to smoke Wednesday night. And certainly by Thursday, we'll start to really see things improve.
And Dyke says this isn't even smoke from northern Saskatchewan because of recent rains and cooler temps. Instead, it's smoke blowing in from wildfires in northern BC and Alberta. It means the air quality won't be great again today.
Essentially, it's going to be 10 plus for most of the day. Regina's a little bit better as we speak early this morning. It's about 8 or so, but that can fluctuate quite dramatically hour to hour. But most areas, as I look at our board here, that indicates the air quality values across Saskatchewan are indicating 10 plus for all the stations, Prince Albert, Saskatoon, Swift Current, Estevan, all 10 plus as we speak.
And actually the health index just actually went up to now at a 9, so still high risk. And of course, if it stays that way, many of your children's outdoor activities would be canceled again for another day. Inside activity is very popular. A number of parents just told public school board trustees to hold off on potential cuts to elementary band programs. That included Trent Reshney.
We just want to actually have a rich environment throughout our community of Regina.
He says school band gives kids opportunities they might not have otherwise, saying band is very valuable for students.
They get a chance to work together for common goals in a large group that they may not get in other types of programs or if this program is cut.
Reshney says some students would have to look costly private lessons or even switch to the Catholic division if cuts go through. Well, the reason Regina Public is considering this is to address a roughly $2 million deficit. Board Chair Adam Hicks says band will still exist, but it's one item the board's looking at to deal with, just one item. He says the board is considering more than just band to cover costs. However, he welcomes feedback in the weeks before any final decisions are made. Happening over at City Hall today, a council meeting is on, and we're learning who the highest earners are. The two highest earners for last year are actually on leave right now for different reasons. City Manager Nikki Anderson heads the list, making more than $315,000, followed by Police Chief Farouk Sheikh at more than $270,000. Don't forget, tomorrow, Ralco Radio is holding a Saskatchewan Day of Caring to help those impacted by the destructive wildfires up north from 6 in the morning until 6 in the evening. All six of our Ralco stations in the province will be accepting donations, which will go to the Red Cross, so we can help those families and individuals affected by wildfires. By the way, you can actually donate now at cjme.com. We have a link up to the Red Cross.